Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Welcome.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
God, I blew it again. I was going so well. I had an hour under my belt and I didn't talk over the intro and bang, there it goes. So this is Scott Aspenlighter in for the great Aaron Flint. Thanks for joining us this morning. Got a great guest and a good friend in with me this morning. Gavin Wolcher is the parks director for the city of Billings. And Gavin's in this morning. We're going to talk about a little bit of what's going on with the Billings Parks Department. Parks is always a hot topic here in Billings and has become a hotter topic over the last 2 years, just with the financial crunches and things that are going on with Billings city budget. But we also have some very exciting things going on in the Parks Department and some great work that's happening inside Parks and Rec in Billings, and really a huge needle mover in the city of Billings right now with the construction of the Yellowstone Ice Arena and the developments at Amen Park and the new courts facility. And so, Gavin, thanks for jumping in with me this morning. Thanks for getting up early, and I know you're an early riser, but thanks for coming into the studio and talking with us this morning about what's going on in Billings.
Absolutely. Good morning, Scott. You really succinctly put it that a lot of stuff is happening. And
I think we're good here. I might have messed up the board. Caden's going to come in here.
Good morning.
There we are. I pushed the wrong, again, this damn, all these buttons and levers, and I got dials flying in my face. Man. So I turned the wrong mic on. I turned the seat next to you on. Well, so, Gavin, let's start over.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me on. There is a lot of really exciting stuff going on in Billings when it comes to all the sports types of facilities that are being created right now. You mentioned the ARC out at Amen Park. This four courts facility, a very versatile space that will really just enhance what we can offer, not only as a city, but also to our partners in the community. But we're not looking just for it to be a local entity. Hopefully we can drive more of a regional sports tourism to this facility, yeah. Also to the ice arena.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the biggest benefit in my mind in this courts facility and the economic the development and the reinvestment in Amen Park down here on the south side is driving more people to Billings, really trying to pour some gas in that economic engine as it relates to recreational activities and sports tourism. So we're going to take a quick break here and come back after this break. But Gavin, what I want to talk with you about here after the break is kind of what do we see this sports facility look like? Where are we at in the process, and where are we going to go? When are we going to get it operational? When we get it operational, where are we going to go with it? So we're going to take a quick break here, folks, and come back. But you're listening to Montana Talks.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A heat advisory goes into effect on Wednesday for Billings. First for today, a good deal of sunshine. A very slight chance for an isolated late-day shower or storm back closer to Bozeman. High temperatures in the lower 90s for Bozeman, but upper 90s for Billings. For tonight, lows in the upper 50s for Bozeman, low to mid-60s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Carroll.
This is House Call for Health. A new study suggests the health of American children has deteriorated over the past 17 years. The report finding between 2007 and 2023, children in the U.S. were 80% more likely to die from ages 1 to 19 compared to other high-income countries, and are more likely to have obesity, chronic diseases, and mental health problems like depression. A study analyzed electronic health records from 10 pediatric health systems and international mortality statistics. The findings show in the year studied, obesity rates for children between ages 2 and 19 rose from 17% to about 21%, and nearly 100 chronic conditions recorded by doctors rose from about 40% in 2011 to 46% in 2023. For the youngest Americans, being born premature and sudden unexpected death were much higher among U.S. infants compared to those with the same age in other countries examined. That study published Monday in the Journal of the American Medical Association. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, welcome back. I did not talk over the intro, and I did get the right mic on for Gavin. So, Gavin, we kind of kicked this off as just an intro of what's going on and kind of a focus on new development here in Billings as it relates to parks and recreation and what's going on with the new courts facility, the ARC, the Amen Rec Center, appropriately or inappropriately named. That's what we're calling it, is the ARC at the moment. But Kevin, why don't you talk to us a little bit about what we're seeing here in Billings as it relates to sports tourism and what you see the vision of the ARC being in this courts facility and where you see that leading.
So I guess I want to paint a picture for you first of, you know, I want us to think of Billings geographically, and right or wrong, just the way how our community came about is we're kind of an island of humanity, right? There's not a whole heck of a lot in the way of big cities around us. Mm-hmm. So by default, we've kind of become this greater catchment area for medical, for shopping, for what have you. Sports tourism is the next phase in mm-hmm. this catchment area. Okay, now the ARC in particular, anything from basketball, volleyball, pickleball, indoor hockey, soccer, use of the facility in different ways. When you pair that with the new Signal Peak Ice Arena, when you pair that with the Metro, when you pair that with SD2's Dayla Stadium's, refurbishment type of deal, that makes a really, really profound impact of what we can do in the way of economics in our community. Mm-hmm. Now, what's really fascinating about the ARC as well as we are very fortunate that Sabura put up all the money for this facility.
Yeah, Sabura is our Southside TIF district here in Billings.
And I'll be honest, I mean, this is a perfect example of a group that says, hey, it's time to invest in ourselves, right? And now the challenge is to realize that investment. So as I said before, this isn't just a local, hey, let's have fun in this space. We're going to have fun in this space, and it's going to be available for local. But we got to think bigger. We mm-hmm. got to think like, what is our region? Is it the Western Dakotas? Is it Northern Wyoming? Is it all of Eastern Montana? Could it even go into getting some Canadian teams mm-hmm. Coming down for tournaments? These are things that we're going to explore.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as the city talked about it, and as the Southside TIF talked about it, I think that was the goal. The goal was to create a facility that would drive these bigger regional tournaments. I don't think anybody's under the misconception that we're going to have these national tournaments that you see in the Midwest and on the East Coast and the West Coast and some of the Rocky Mountain states like Denver. But so many of our local sports teams, our travel teams for basketball and volleyball, to go to tournaments, they're going to, you know, Rapid City is the closest. Spokane is the closest. Denver is the closest.
Yep.
Like, we have nothing in Montana, not a thing in Montana that holds, that that can host and hold these types of events. And that, that's bonkers to me. You know, so this is an opportunity in my mind as a city council member to create an opportunity for Billings to really step up and be a leader in Montana and in our four-state region to say, hey, no, we're going to have the best facilities, and we're going to bring people to our city. And absolutely, when those people come here, they're going to spend money in restaurants, they're going to spend money on hotels, they're going to spend money in our shopping centers, and they're going to help build revenue and build growth in our business community. And so, you know, you had the T-bid, which I think is also worth us talking about. The hoteliers stepped up and said, hey, we're going to help offset the cost of operation of this facility because we know that it's going to generate revenue for our businesses. So they're taking a portion of their bed tax and helping defray the cost of this facility for the next 3 years.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, T-Bed, Sabura are both kind of really great examples, again, of entities that said, hey, it's time to invest in us, mm-hmm. right, in ourselves. And I love what you said there. Like, it's dang it, we should be the best in Montana.
Yeah.
Right?
And I am tired of being a backbencher to Western Montana. I'm tired of it. God, I'm a proud Eastern Montana kid from the tundra. Like, I'm a competitor. If you're not first, it doesn't matter. And God dang it, I want Billings to be first. I want us to be leading the way. And that's one of the things I appreciate about your leadership is, you know, is challenging us to be better. Yeah. Not, you know, sulking in the difficult financial times, but you know what? We're going to take a hard look at what we're doing, and we're going to see what we can leverage to be better. We're going to revamp the way that we look at how we do things in Parks and Rec, and we're going to take this opportunity with the Rec Center and see how we can make Billings a landmark, how we can make it a landing spot for our region.
Absolutely. And, I guess the bottom line is everything that we're doing now is focused on intentionality.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to have a purpose. It has to have a maintenance mechanism behind it. It has to have the funding. And we have to be able to fully articulate why are we doing what we're doing. If we can't do that, then it's not the right time for the project.
Yeah.
Right now, the arc, right time for the project. We can articulate. Now we get to dream a little bit, and then we'll execute.
Yeah, and I think this was, you mentioned it, this was something that was really driven by the business community.
Correct.
The business community stepped up. It was the business leaders on the South TIF. It was the business leaders in the hotel markets that said, you know what? See, it's time for you to do this.
Absolutely.
And we're doing it. So I'm excited to further this conversation. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to bounce right back. But on with Gavin Welcher, the Parks and Rec Director for the City of Billings, talking about the new ARC facility. Quick break here. Come back with Montana Talks.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Donald Trump has had the best few weeks of his presidency, from the successful bombing of the Iranian nuclear sites to the ceasefire between Israel and Iran to the record-breaking stock market. But he's been drawn into a war of words with Elon Musk, who, as promised, has now formed a third party. I am saddened, the president said, to see Elon Musk go completely off the rails, essentially becoming a train wreck over the past 5 weeks. He even wants to start a third political party, despite the fact that they have never succeeded in the United States. Now, Musk has been hitting back at what he calls an abomination of a bill. He says there's no difference between the Democratic and the Republican parties. On the other hand, there has never been a successful third party in this country. He's hitting back at Trump over the Epstein files, bringing up a sensitive subject. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Montana Talks is the show where we get a chance to hear from leading statewide lawmakers. We also get a chance to hear from folks inside the Trump administration. But you know where our best information comes from? It comes from you. You get a chance to call into the show. You get a chance to be heard all across Montana because the show is called Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. You can message us on the Montana Talks app, or you can even call in at 406-294-0970. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
This week, I'm in San Diego for the cattle industry summer business meeting. And cattle industry participants from across the nation are weighing in on key policy issues. And while there's plenty on their agenda, folks are especially celebrating and discussing the passage of the Big Beautiful Bill, calling it a major win for the cattle industry in rural America. Colin Woodall is CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
NCBA was very supportive of getting the One Big Beautiful Bill passed for multiple reasons, but the leading reason is because of the tax provisions included. With so many of those slated to expire at the end of 2025, it was important that we provide a little certainty to cattle producers, and that's exactly what this bill did on everything from Section 179, bonus depreciation, to the death tax. We have been able to provide additional protection for cattle producers when it comes to taxes, but the biggest win is we were able to take these provisions and make them permanent. Usually we have 8 to 10 years, but to be able to make it permanent gives us a lot of certainty moving forward, and that's why we're very pleased with both the House and Senate for the work they've done and with the President for signing that bill on the 4th of July.
But the Montana Farmers Union opposes the bill, saying it breaks the Rural Urban Coalition that's long worked to support family farms and rural communities across the nation. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, welcome back, Montana. This is Scott Aspenleiter sitting in for Aaron Flint this morning. We got a guest in the studio, Gavin Walter. He's the Parks and Rec Director for the City of Billings. And we're talking about the Amen Rec Center, the new $20 million rec facility here being built here in Billings, and kind of the impetus of that. So, Gavin, why don't you kind of give us an update of where we are in the process and in the project. I mean, construction started, but where are we at with schedule and budget, and what do you see for timing for that facility coming online?
So if you've driven by that area, you've seen a lot of groundwork, dirt work has been done, pouring the footings now, getting all of that up. The prefabricated engineered metal building will go up soon, or will start to go up. As of this conversation, we are completely on time, under budget, moving along. We're looking at a June 2026 opening. Now that's if, you know, everything goes perfect. And as you know, as a civil engineer, construction projects, you're always going to have something that goes sideways. Yeah. Thus far though, all entities are doing a great job out there.
Yeah. That's great to hear. And I think the team that's working on that, Langless Construction in particular, the contractor putting it up, Langless is great in taking projects like this that have complicated timelines, complicated delivery schedules, and really making that work. I mean, we've worked with Langless in my business a lot over my 13 years, and they've done an excellent job. I think the City of Billings is lucky to have Langless building this project. But, you know, as we see this being commissioned and as we cut it loose, I think the community is excited. I know the council is excited about the opportunities it's going to create, and we're working through what the operations plan is going to look like on that. That will start to roll itself out here into the fall. But really key point and a key narrative, I think, on this facility is the economic impact that it's going to have on this community, Yellowstone County and Billings in particular, and that's going to be a great thing for our city. And again, this is built with increment dollars. It doesn't come out of the general fund. It doesn't come out of the parks budget.
Correct.
This is built with tax increment dollars. Now, those still are tax dollars. I want to be very clear about that.
Sure, sure.
But that's increment investment that did not impact the taxpayers.
That's correct.
So we got this $20 million facility built with increment, and it did not impact the taxes on your house. And when we get this operating, we've got the partnership with the hoteliers here in Billings to start to help defray the cost and to make sure that it's not going to sink the park's budget. And so this is a great partnership with the businesses on the south side, with the hoteliers in this community to really get this kicked off in the right way.
Absolutely. And, you know, I would say that the assistant city administrator, Kevin Iflin, really describes this project very succinctly and perfectly. This is exciting. This is exciting for our community. This is exciting for the city of Billings. This is exciting for the Parks Department. This is a big investment. Mm-hmm. And the opportunity, it's not only there, but it's actually coming to fruition.
Yeah.
And that's really awesome to see this. This is one of the biggest investments into the Parks Department in quite a while.
Yeah.
And so it's not a great responsibility as well. And I'm fully eyes wide open going that, hey, there's a lot of work to be done here still. And, you know, that committedness that I need, yeah, it comes from council, it comes from city admin, it comes from TBIT, it comes from Sabura, it comes from my folks in my department.
Yep.
There's a lot of people going in the same direction to make this happen.
Yeah, and I'm excited about that. So in the last 90 seconds we got, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Parks Department this summer, rec to you, you know, some of the activity going on by your team.
You know, in my household, we are always worried about our own finances. Unfortunately, none of us have a money tree. Parks are free. Go out and visit a park. Spend some time in a park. We have Rec to You. That is a phenomenal program that is free as well. You can go onto our website, billingsparks.org, type in Rec to You in the search box. It will show you the schedule. We're at 9 different locations over the 5 days. Last year, we had about 1,500 participants in that program. As of this conversation, already
free.
As of this conversation, we already have 1,000 in the first 2.5 weeks of us offering this. Obviously, last week was 4th of July. We weren't out in the parks as much, a vacation, what have you. We understand the pain points of finances right now. Mm-hmm. Go out, visit a park. They're free.
Yeah, that's great. And that's the one thing I've consistently said in my 18 months on council. The rec programming that comes out of our Parks Department is a bright, shining star. And they have done a hell of a job in bringing rec programming to the city of Billings. So, Gavin, I really appreciate you taking the time. I appreciate your leadership in parks, and I'm excited.
My pleasure.
As we go forward. Thanks for stopping in the studio this morning. We're going to take a quick break here and come back, but you're listening to Montana Talks. We'll be right back. All right, we're back with Montana Talk. So, great conversation with Gavin about what was going on with the Billings Rec Division and Parks and Rec here in Billings, and the investment that we're making in Billings down on the south side with the rec center. Hotly discussed and hotly debated topic. I mean, most folks will say that, hey, they voted against 2-1 the $150 million mill levy for the Parks Department and the massive $100 million rec center that was way probably overblown and overdone for what our city can afford and what the people in Billings wanted. This rec center, 4 courts, really focused around sports tourism and focused on being an economic driver in our community, I think is exactly the right approach. And it's a great public-private partnership. marrying it up with the Signal Peak Ice Arena and what the Yellowstone Ice Foundation is building there to bring and revitalize hockey in Billings, I think is going to be a great pairing. Pairing it up with what's going on at Amen Park with the soccer community, I think is great. You've got a tennis community out there right now that's looking at a reinvestment potentially in building a new tennis center and a tennis facility. You know, sports in Billings are a big thing. And you know, I think oftentimes we think about sports as a function of the school district, your local school district, but sports really is a economic driver, and it's becoming more and more of an economic driver in Montana. You know, my friends who have kids that play in these travel teams, they are gone all summer long, whether it's baseball and baseball tournaments up and down the Rocky Mountains, or whether it's travel basketball and travel volleyball. I mean, it's unfortunate that Montana does not have a landing spot for significant tournaments to bring in teams from Canada, from Wyoming, Washington, Idaho, Oregon, South Dakota, North Dakota, and bring them to Montana. It's unfortunately that we ship our money out to other markets. And it's exciting to me that we're creating an opportunity really to bring that money into Billings and what that's going to mean to the economy here in Billings. I think we're going to see a hell of a shift in what these facilities mean to our community and to the business environment here in Billings, and to see over the next 3 years, once they get activated and up and operational and they start to hit their full stride, what that's going to mean for the market here. So I'm excited about what that's bringing. I'm excited about where we're going here in Billings, and I'm very passionate about the future for our city. I think we are a diamond in the rough continually here in Billings, with a ton of opportunity to continue to grow. And this rec center and rec center construction is just another opportunity for us to really capitalize on some opportunities. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Montana Talks.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, welcome back. This is Scott Aspenlighter in for Aaron Flint this morning. And we've got Brian Massard from Reminisce Angus on this morning. Brian, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this morning?
Super.
Good, good. Well, hey, I appreciate you taking the time to call in and chat with us a little bit about ag issues going on. I think it's certainly prudent and appropriate for us on the eastern side of the state with an ag-based economy to spend some time talking about what's going on in the ag world. So, what's on your mind here this morning? I know there's been a lot of activity here lately out of the Trump administration and on the federal level. What are some of the things here that you're seeing that the folks should listen to and really pay attention to?
Well, we've been working pretty diligently for 3 years to bring saturated fat to the national conversation, and specifically talking to Aaron. It's been about a year, just a little over a year ago. We called him, and when we got hooked up with RFK and started sharing with him this one issue, and it's been just about a year now, and we're pretty close. It looks like, you know, saturated fat has had a 10% cap on it since 1980.
Uh-huh.
And there's a cap on red meat. So what they can serve in schools and prisons and the military is very limited on saturated fat and red meat. And those can't be changed without the dietary guidelines being changed. And it looks like those are going to get changed. When we were in D.C. 3 weeks ago, we met with the authors who are writing the new dietary guidelines. We looked at the language in there, and full steam ahead, it looks like that's going to happen. If that happens, if they take the cap off of saturated fat and the limits on red meat, that will be the biggest thing to happen to the beef industry in 50 years. Because that one thing is what's destroyed rural America. And our own agency, the USDA, has literally obliterated rural America. They've eliminated the small one-room schoolhouses, the post offices, with that decision defining saturated fat as unhealthy. And that's where all the, you know, as we go through a Trump administration, doesn't matter what administration's in there the last 50 years, everybody feels sorry for the farmers. The new Secretary of Ag gets in there and talks about the poor farmers and how we're going to get them more subsidies, how we're going to keep them in business. But in the other room, they've been destroying small farms from back then. You know, in 1980, people had a few cows, they had a few sheep, they butchered their own hogs, they raised their own eggs. A lot of people milked their own cows. And when the value of your product drops below the cost of production, then you're in trouble. And this one item, you know, nobody's really paid attention to it, and we wouldn't have learned about it until we got into the meat industry and found out. And so in my personal opinion, that's the biggest thing going on in the Trump administration, and this wouldn't have happened without Bobby Kennedy Jr. listening. We would not be here today. We would still be pressing full steam ahead, big ag, big everything. This wouldn't even be on the table. And so I'm very grateful for Secretary Kennedy listening, for Secretary Kennedy actually doing something and asking for help, that we wouldn't even have this issue, and the last 1% of small farms and ranches would be gone, I would say, in the next wave that would be coming. But this is going to be stopped for that. Second thing that's going on is I've got a conference call with the SBA, and we're talking, since we've been in D.C. with them back there, how do you rebuild the infrastructure? How do you get these banks to have more confidence in small ag loans? And again, you know, you can tie all that back to saturated fat, because when the value of your product drops below the cost of production, banks get a little touchy about loaning money to people with risk. And it's been getting riskier and riskier for 50 years. Banks are pulling back. Federal government has pulled back a little bit, and they want safe loans. Even your smallest ag banks, they're not going to go out there and take a risk, because they got no backing from the federal government. The federal government is destroying the industry they're trying to finance. So it's kind of upside down. But the SBA reached out to us, and they said, hey, we want to be part of the MAHA movement. What's going on? And so we've had two conversations with them, and they're just in shock over, you know, connecting those dots and seeing, you know, why, what happened to rural America. But now they're on board. They want to do something. They want to know how to help. And so we've got our third conversation here in about an hour with them, and they're trying to put together a packet that's going to help rural America and how they can help get behind these banks and provide some guarantees and get the infrastructure going again.
Yeah, Brian, I think you bring up some really great points as it relates to what happens on the national level to a rural state like Montana. And I mean, I grew up in Northeast Montana and Culberson in an ag community. You know, we had 700 people in our small little town, but you know, that was an ag driven community. And much as most of Eastern Montana is, you know, my friends from high school and college are farmers and ranchers. They have went back to their respective farms and ranches and taken over their operations. They're a part of the 1% that you referenced. And, you know, so it's encouraging to hear that we're gonna have some assistance from the federal government instead of fighting against it. You know, I think that's a great thing to hear coming out of the Trump administration, and is that we're not forgetting about rural America. We're not forgetting about the agricultural base that feeds this country and that feeds the world, frankly. So as we talk about, you know, the cattle industry in particular and these USDA guidelines, what do you see? Oh, Caden, that's on you. That's not on me. That's not on my strike list for today. Brian, what do you see as the potential impact for these small ag operators coming out of this? I mean, do you see the local market starting to increase for small ranchers and small meat facilities, packing facilities. How do we start to get a bigger foothold in the small packing industry?
Well, it's the noise is out there right now to create people. Consumers are looking. They want to know. We've talked about this in the beef industry for 25 years. People are really starting to want to know where their food is coming from. They want to know how their food is raised. And that is actually driving more regional processing. That is driving more, and I shouldn't say processing, but it's driving more regional and local demand. Mm-hmm. People are, I think the message is finally getting out there that good, healthy food is not cheap. And that's been the challenge, you know, for the last 70 or 80 years. The federal government has said good food is cheap. It's cheap. We're going to subsidize the farmers. We're going to make everything cheap. We have a good, cheap policy so that we're never going to run out of food again like we had in the Great Depression. Well, here we are 80 years later, and the consumer is being told that, geez, we got to get rid of these $5, $6 eggs and get them down to $2.95. And the same message is coming out, we don't like a million chickens in one building. Well, those two things don't exist in the same world.
Yeah.
And when you, same with cattle, you know, you get, there's a group of folks within the MAHA movement that want everything grass-fed and organic and natural and flowing out on the landscape. And that's been part of my job to explain to them that this isn't Georgia. We don't get 100 inches of rain a year, and you can't just do half-acre paddocks in the West. You know, you got thousands of acres. And so just trying to keep conversation, or common sense in the conversation, but it is happening. And the neat thing is the people that are in there making these decisions, they're not, in this round of the new administration, they're not coming to us, they're not coming to our industry organizational leaders and saying, here's what we're going to do for you.
Yeah.
They're coming at us with, help us fix this problem. What should we do? How can we get rid of government, over the overreach of government? What's that look like? What if we deregulate a lot of things? And that was what Callie Means had shared with me 3 weeks ago when we're standing in the White House. He goes, well, if we just get rid of a lot of regulations, isn't that going to help you? And I said, not really. It really doesn't make it down to us.
Yeah.
You know, everybody talks about deregulation. There's plenty of people in the middle that absorb all of that. And then the next administration comes in and we're right back at
it.
We have to have some, we're going to have some permanent changes.
Yeah. No, Brian, I really appreciate you taking the time to call in this morning and talk to us about what's going on at the USDA and the impact to rural Montana. I think it's an important issue. Appreciate the call and the time this morning. We're going to take a quick break and come right back after this set. But good information from Brian Reminis Angus. We'll be right back with Montana Talks.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. Between two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN, you try to be in control of how your info is protected. But many other places also have it, and they might not be as careful. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast for 40% off. Terms apply.
Fox News commentary.
A mural in France depicts the Statue of Liberty covering her face in shame. It's a good thing we don't care what France thinks. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week. Every week, we check in with Jimmy Fallon, bring in authors for The Book Club, and even treat some of your favorite Fox personalities to a very special happy hour. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Kennedy Saves the World. America's listening to Fox News.
The global social justice warriors are drawing a lot of inspiration from President Trump and his mega agenda. This time, it's a mural in France. The mural was done by a Dutch artist and is titled The Statue of Liberty's Silent Protest. It depicts the Statue of Liberty covering her face in shame. This was supposedly done to send a message to the USA that Trump's immigration policies are shameful. I don't know who wants to tell this artist that the 80 million plus people who voted for Trump as our president in our country do not give one rip what a Dutch artist living in France thinks of our our country taking back our national sovereignty. President Trump campaigned and won on mass deportations and a secure border, and that's exactly what he's doing. If France would like to take the 15 to 20 million illegal aliens living in the USA, I'm sure we could make that dream come true. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A heat advisory goes into effect on Wednesday for Billings. First for today, a good deal of sunshine. A very slight chance for an isolated late-day shower or storm back closer to Bozeman. High temperatures in the lower 90s for Bozeman, but upper 90s for Billings. For tonight, lows in the upper 50s for Bozeman, low to mid-60s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Hey, I know how it goes, man. You're driving around Montana. Maybe you're pulling the camper or something like that. You're going on a trip, but you still want to listen to your Montana news and commentary. Well, you can get all 4 hours of Montana Talks on the Montana Talks app. So whether you're in cell range or out of cell range, you just want something to listen to, all 4 hours of Montana Talks right there at your fingertips. Put it on your smartphone. It'll even show up.
1412 or visit Majestic Homes website at majestichomesite.com for more details.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Welcome back. This is Scott Aspenlighter in with Ashley Cavanaugh is joining us from Big Sky Economic Development. Ashley,
nice to be here with you.
Yeah, thanks for coming into the studio. So I think this is a great opportunity to get your perspective. Ashley is an economic development director here in Billings with Big Sky Economic Development, and we spent the first half of the hour talking with Gavin about the rec center and, you know, kind of the sports tourism investments that we're making and we're seeing here in Billings. Like, what's your take and perspective on how you see that impacting the economy here in Yellowstone County and Billings in particular?
Yeah, so we're really excited, and a few reasons why. One is we're Montana City. For those of us who are lucky enough to have lived in a small town, you can still come around to Billings and you know someone everywhere you go. And so we're the city for the whole state and all of our small towns. And if you go to you see license plates in Costco or the hospital, they're from other places. And now we see that sports is an opportunity to do that and be an economic driver, that they're everywhere then. They're in our hotels, they're in our restaurants. It's great for our small businesses. It's a super big win for us.
Yeah, and I love the fact that we're starting to rebrand ourselves as Billings as Montana's city. Montana City. Yeah, we are the biggest city in the region, and we got to start acting like it.
Yes, you know, exactly. That's,
it's one of the reasons that I got on council. It's one of the reasons that I wanted to start getting more engaged in our community is, you know, I think Billings has just kind of taken a ho-hum approach for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
With it's just going to come here, and we don't have to be aggressive about it because we're the biggest. It's just going to come. And And what we've seen from my perspective is other communities have passed us by and taken advantage of opportunities that maybe we should have created for ourselves. And that narrative is starting to change, I think.
It is, yes. You know,
Billings is really starting to invest in itself and trying to set itself and its business community up to really be successful beyond the catching. Now we're going out and hunting.
Yes.
And I love that mentality. I mean, I want Billings to be aggressive. So as we talk about sports tourism in particular, you know what? I think it's easy to say, oh, yeah, they're gonna land in our restaurants and they're going to land in our hotels. And that's the reason that the hoteliers stepped up and are helping defray some of the cost of the operation of that facility. But where else do you see that impact spinoff in our business community here in Billings and in Yellowstone County?
An easy one is talent attraction. So if you think about wanting to attract employees, we want them to come here because of a great job, a great opportunity, but then how do we keep them here over a long time to build a meaningful life here? A lot of that is giving great things for their kids, a great education, great opportunities for recreation, and sports is a huge part of that. Do you spend your weekends following your kids around for sports? I know a lot of people do. So this is giving us a state-of-the-art facility to say, hey, we're not only invested in you as an employee, employee, but we're invested in the next generation with your kids.
Yeah, that's an excellent point that we have not talked about to this point, because as a business owner, that's one of the things that we struggle with too. I mean, I've got a building full of young guys, young engineers who are building families. They're buying houses in this community, and man, I can only do so many things, right? Yes. There's only so many levers as the business owner I can pull. Mm-hmm. And those are around benefits and compensation, generally speaking, and creating opportunities for professional growth. But there are so many other pulls mm-hmm. that are created and satisfied by community. You know, you said the schools and sports and opportunities and recreation in our community. And I think this is a great opportunity and a great advancement and step forward for our community and for the business community as an employee retention tool as well. And I think that's something that's long forgotten in these conversations, or it's completely overlooked. We're going to take a quick break at the top of the hour here. We'll come back and we're going to talk with Ashley more about what's going on statewide economic activity, what's going on particularly in Billings, and how we're going to make Billings the best place in Montana. So we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Montana Talks.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. When stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out, because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.